Welcome to the Casual Fridays REI podcast, where you'll learn about the wildly profitable niche of land investing. Active land investors Adam Southey and Justin Sliva are here to share their experiences with you so that you can learn how to build massive cash flow and huge profits from this highly lucrative niche. So without further ado, here are your hosts, Adam Southey and Justin Sliva.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Adam Southey here with my co-host, Justin Sliva, and this is the Casual Fridays REI podcast. Today, we're going to talk about knowing your market. Are you local? Are you in different counties, different states? Before we do that, though, let's talk about the Plum Investment Group. Guys, do you have a property that you need funding for? Plum Investment Group is your solution. Plum helps land investors grow their business by funding your raw land purchase. It's truly an awesome deal, guys. And just to be clear, this isn't a loan. Plum will actually partner with you by putting up the money for your project. So do yourself a favor. Go check out the website. It's www.pluminvestmentgroup.com.
Friday.
Yeah, it's Friday. I hope people are feeling well today after yesterday.
Well, how do you think you feel?
How do I think? I feel great.
You think you feel great?
I feel great.
How do I feel?
I don't know. That's debatable.
Yeah, that is debatable. Am I sunburnt? Am I?
I don't know. You're not much of a sun protection, sunblock person, are you?
No, but I don't burn really. I got this beautiful almond skin.
I'm not worried about the burning. It's the skin cancer.
True. True. That's a real thing.
Well, yeah.
That's true. That's a real thing.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
So, yeah, we'd probably ought to watch that. And I say that smiling. You know, I got a call from my dad. And he's like, yeah, your sister, she had some skin cancer coming up her face. I'm like, what? Oh, no, she's gone through a dang second round of chemo. And I'm like, huh?
Really?
Yeah, they used a chemo cream on it, and it, like, bubbles it out and burns it off. And so, yeah.
That's not just something they come and cut off?
That one, I don't think it did. It was, like, had to rub some kind of lotion on it. She's doing well now, so for those who reach out, she's doing great now. Can't even tell. But, yeah, it was not a good call. And so I say that laughing. I tend to smile and laugh and make light of serious situations.
Hmm. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. So now that I've got us in a somber mood for this Friday.
Yeah, everyone's hung over and you just brought them down.
You want my sister? Oh. God, I'm sick.
Let's change this.
Yeah.
That's good news.
Let's pump up the jam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had a couple comments made in consulting calls, and one stuck out to me. We had a client that used the casual code at checkout with Land Academy, got the course. They got their free consulting call, and we did that. And it was a husband and wife team. They're in Texas, and they're making the switch from single family residence to land. And it's a comment that I've heard commonly with single family people that decide to move over to land, and they talk about their market being depressed or compact or compressed to where the deals aren't there anymore. The profit margin's not there anymore. And he's like, you know, our market, and typically single family residence investors shop their market. Right? You tend to shop where you're around because you're going to manage the deal. If you're going to flip it, if you're going to wholesale it, you have your buyer's list. There are very few that do virtual or, you know, remote flipping of that. There's a few good ones. You know, I was on Antoine Martel's show, and that's what he does. He does turnkey rentals, and he only buys in areas that are over the 1% for rent, and he flips them, gets somebody in it, year lease, and then sells it to an investor. He has a great business doing that, and he helps a lot of people doing that along the way with the show. But, you know, talking to this couple last week and then a couple weeks before, I heard the same thing. And what's your market, you know, in land? And I'm like, the United States?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's an important thing about the land investing niche is your market isn't dictated by your where you're at geographically, but wherever you want to send mail. You can make a new market tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. In fact, I've never bought land in where I live.
I haven't bought anything in Tarrant or Johnson County land-wise.
No, and the closest I've ever been was 3.5 hours away.
Yeah.
And then the closest to that would probably be in like 8 or 9 hours away.
Yeah, I'm with you on those distances. I think I was 2.5 on one, a couple, and then about 3.5, 4, and then 9 hours away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm also not one of those people that just works one county and then they keep going back and back and back.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that because there's a lot of people that do that and they make a killing, but that's not what I do. I mean, I'm in a lot of different states.
Yep. No, I agree. And that's what I said. I was like, well, I'm in 30 states right now, and some of those states in two and three counties, four counties. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, when you start seeing yourself like that, you're like, well, what is your market? Well, my market is a property type, a size, a margin. You know, that's what my market is, and I shop for that market.
That's a good point. Yeah, I do the same thing.
So, I mean, I thought that was just interesting that I continue to hear that from those single family. Like, I'm getting pushed out by the funds coming in, or these big corporate guys are coming in to shop our area, or these wholesalers are just not bringing the deals that they used to bring. Man, that's the thing about learning how to source your own deals and get your inbound flow coming is you can do it anywhere. It's just rinse and repeat. You just change out the county and the price. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, honestly, I don't really know how wholesalers, well, at least the wholesalers I get emails from, mm-hmm. from house for houses, how they actually stay in business, because A, they're lying about the ARV, mm-hmm. and the houses are so overpriced, and there's no profit for the rehabber.
Yep.
So I don't even know how people are making money doing it that way. The only thing I consume is the real wholesalers aren't wholesaling. They have one or two buyers, and they just go to those people every time.
I can tell you from my experience in wholesaling houses that a wholesaler that makes money for his end buyer will never need a long buyer's list.
Right.
And you can at me all you want. You can try to change my mind. But I know my 12-person buyer list, if I get to number four, I know the deal's off. Like, mm-hmm. it's not a good deal. Mm-hmm. But that's my whole thought on it is that, A, if you're fighting for that market and you're having to knuckle out and just drag out to make no money, is it worth it?
No. It's really not. Especially because, let's just take Tarrant County, for example. Mm-hmm. There are a lot. There's probably more people in Tarrant County that want to be home flippers than there are entire people in the land investing niche.
Yeah, you were probably right about that.
And that's probably right about every major city. Well, yeah. Let's go to Dallas County. It's a much bigger place, yep. So you got to assume there's a whole lot more people all fighting for the same stuff.
And Houston?
Yeah. So then just by the pure number of people doing it, it's going to be more, the price is going to be higher.
Yeah. Right. Everybody's lying about what they can get you for your house. Oh, I'll get you this, I'll get you that. And then you're fighting over a couple $1,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just not like that with land.
No.
Right. Especially because I can go, well, I've helped people go into counties that I never would have thought about going into. Mm-hmm. Right. And then they're definitely not competing with anyone in those.
Yep.
I mean, so that's what makes us great.
Yeah. I tend to show people this thing that, you know, we talked about it at the live event that we had, our sold out live event, which was, you know, super cool. I think we need to do something like that again here pretty quickly. I know you don't want to, but we probably need to. I'm just throwing it out there. If y'all think we should, at Adam and talk him into it. Mm. He needs a nudge. And but we talked about, you know, looking at certain type margins and properties and what the price type was. And then so right after that, I was like, hey, I'm gonna put my money where my mouth is. I blew this comment out there. I wanted to see actually how many counties were in the country. And at that time, there was 112 counties that hit 20 acres for sub $30,000. So if I worked one of those counties a month, I got 10 years worth of business. Like I would never touch another county for 10 years.
Well, that's if you could buy everything in that county.
Well, no, that's just me. If I just mailed that county, I'm saying every month I mailed one of those counties.
I know. Well, what I'm saying is if you mailed that one county and got 10 back, there's a chance you run out of money before you can buy them all. So you got to go back the next month.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
And buy the rest, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. So you've created a 20-year business for you just working off that one margin.
It just doesn't sound bad to me.
No. I mean, not when you're 37 years old and you got kids you got to put through college and a daughter that one day you're going to have to walk down the aisle. I mean, that's 20 years from now, man.
Well, let's not forget your car habit, too.
Are we going to start on my car habit again?
I was finding a way to work it in this week.
You took you till Friday to get it in. So I sold my beloved. I really like that car. I don't want to say beloved. It was a nice car, a Z28.
Yeah.
I sold a car that I liked or traded a car I liked for that car because my wife wouldn't let me put the twins in the Cobra and take them on Sunday mornings. So,
well, to be fair, it's not a 3-person car.
I could have took one. And had some one-on-one time with the son or the daughter.
Mm-hmm. But just let the other child stay home upset?
Yeah, with the baby.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, they got another one now in their herd.
All right.
And so I sold that car to get open up cash for the subdivide in Virginia because I didn't want to touch any of the money that's working through Plum or Lamuel right now. So I was like, okay, hey, I can have a car that's losing value and depreciating every day in the garage that I drive once every week to 2 weeks. I drove it 600 miles in the 10 months I had it. And so, you know, it was one of those things that's like, okay, I can use the money for this and I'm going to make $120,000 on a subdivide or I just keep losing money on this car. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got an appetite for cars mm-hmm. and I'll look at them, but Adam made me go over the cars with him to prove that my car habit wasn't like crack.
Wait. Let's back this whole thing up.
Okay.
Because you just said you sold that car to free up money to go buy this land.
Yep.
But what did you do yesterday or today? What did you do today?
I happened to run across a 1966 Lincoln Continental that I'll be going to look at, which would be last Sunday compared to here. The good thing is my car community around me is so tight. While we've been sitting here recording, one of my most trusted mechanic guys, he texts me and goes, "Hey, man, that Lincoln, you got to watch those motors. You can't just get parts. It's not like buying this car or this car. It's just not, it's going to be hard to get parts for that. So just know that going into it." And so I'm like, okay, you know, so my community's around me, Adam. They support my habit. But in the last
bunch of enablers.
I know. But in the last 5 years, let's talk about all the.
Well, no, because that doesn't. Okay. You're trying to convince yourself.
I'm not convincing myself. I know it. I know.
Okay. There's no need to go all the way into it. But yeah, you can't sell me you're going to sell the car to go buy some land and then turn around and go buy another car.
I'm not going to buy another car. Like I told you, you're going to get it on air. I am not going to buy another car until the subdivide is sold. And I'm not going to put an and in there. I'm not going to put an and. Dang it.
So then why even go look at the Continental if... Because I know the subdivide didn't get bought, divided, and sold in 4 days.
No, I'm still waiting on their attorney. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Y'all heard it here.
I know, but so the do you know actually how I found that car? Our buddy Matt, his he owns one of the most successful pop-up lunches and brunches. They're about to get a brick-and-mortar store. Well, his wife, Amanda, is a cake designer for wedding cakes, and she owns a business as well. It takes a vintage trailer that they restored and they do desserts for weddings and like open bar for weddings so you have this really cool ambiance. So they own a really successful like restored trailer that they used at weddings for bars and stuff. It's called 66 and Co. And she sends it to me. She knows I have a car habit. I don't want to call her an enabler, but she sends it to me and goes, "Hey, this looks really cool. This looks like something you could load up." And I was like, "Heck yeah, 66 Lincoln Continental suicide doors." Imagine how boss that is. Open the suicide doors, you're posed up in it. Hashtag for the gram. Plus, I could fit the whole family plus a guest in the car. The dang thing is huge. I don't think it's going to fit in my garage. I think it's too long. But she goes, "I know a ton of brides that would pay to drive that car away at their wedding." Pays for itself, bro. Pays for itself. That's all I'm saying is it pays for itself. Imagine that wedding pic on your mantle, suicide doors open, husband in a tux, wife in a dress. Click, click. That's it right there. That's a jam.
Mm-hmm. Also known as shiny object syndrome.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Kinda. And it was a bittersweet week. The Cobra that I traded for the Z sold this week too. And I was very sad to see that because I kind of like that car. It was partial to it.
It was a good one.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Knowing our markets.
Yeah. Knowing our markets.
We got pretty far away from that.
Yeah, we did.
I think the biggest point we're trying to say here is like, it doesn't matter where you're at, right? Because just know what you do. So like Justin and I talked about, we look for a certain type of mm-hmm. land. Some people want to be in a certain county and they want to go back to it each and every mm-hmm. time. They want to build their list around it. Some people want to be in multiple states like us. Someone just want to stay in one state, but multiple cities. It doesn't matter. Just know what you're looking for and know what you're doing.
Yeah. The good thing is your market is up to you. It's not just, you're not defined by the geography or your location because you have to manage the property flip or you have to manage the GCs. With land, you're not developing much. Mm-hmm. So if you decide to go out and subdivide, you're going to hire a surveyor. He's going to go do it. You hire somebody to go out and clean up the property. You know, that's pretty far advanced stuff. It's not something you have to do to be profitable at this business. So the idea behind, hey, you're ever going to be ran out because a bunch of people came in this niche, it's not necessarily true because you have 3,200 counties to shop in this country. And like I said, for my margin, there's 112 counties that fit that margin. Mm-hmm. So that gives me 10 years plus of work.
All right. Well, that sounds good. Let's call it right there for today.
Yep. Happy Friday.
Yeah. Happy Friday. We hope you have a great weekend. And do us a favor. Go to Facebook. Go to Instagram. Give us a like. Give us a follow. Then go to iTunes and Stitcher and like, rate, review, and subscribe to the show. We love you. Have a great weekend. And see you Monday.
See you guys.